Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Crosswalk Talk with ordained ministers Carlotta Waldman and her co-host Pat Torek. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross so that we can walk the walk and live the life in Him. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your opportunity to share true stories of God intervening in the lives of real people today. Stories of miraculous healing, intervention, God's provision, divine appointments, or of receiving undeserved favor. Carlotta Waldman is an author, Bible college educator, and ordained minister of counseling. Pat Torek is an evangelist, worship leader, and healing prayer minister. Now here's Carlotta Waldman.
Thank you, Dan. And for everyone that's listening, welcome, welcome, welcome. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we just send you greetings, blessings, double portions. Amen. We're just so happy to have Teresa with us tonight as our co-hostess. She's from Nashville and has been so gracious to help us several times. And in fact, we're interviewing and discussing with Teresa as well. I do want to ask you to pray for Pat as she is on her way to India as we speak for several weeks, so she won't be with us. Forgive us if we don't get the intro redone in time to reflect that. But we're so glad to have Teresa because she is just getting to be a little expert on dreams. I was so happy to be able to share 10 of my dreams with her, and then it became 12. And what Teresa doesn't know is of last night, now it's 14 dreams where God is trying to give direction and encouragement regarding what He is doing on the earth today. Teresa, how are you tonight?
I'm really good. I'm really good.
Have you been dreaming too?
Not so much lately. Sometimes mine are just small pictures, and I've got quite a few I need to meditate on, so I think God just doesn't give me too much. You know, it's sort of like in journaling, if God doesn't give you very much in journaling, that means that He wants you to find out and seek Him a little bit more about what He's already given you.
Well, if it's anything like personal prophetic words, I was living at a prophetic camp, so to speak, in Florida over a period of about 4 years, I think. Two different periods, totaling to about 4 years, that is. And we learn not to covet receiving all the words, because a lot of times when God prophesies to you, it's because you're going to need it. But in this case, these dreams that we're going to be sharing tonight, most of them have something very positive to say about how God is escalating things, how He's restoring what we've laid down for the kingdom's sake, or what choices to make next, or not be afraid, don't be intimidated. Go ahead and claim the vision that God has given you. And in my case, since some of you may not call in, I believe that you'll still get tips from Teresa's explanation of how God is trying to speak to me. I'm getting some picking up on some of it. She's much better, though. How long did you say you have been studying dreams, Teresa?
Well, I'd say probably earnestly for a good 2 years, maybe even longer than that. But when God starts talking to you in dreams and you realize that that there are really some meaning behind the symbolism, and you just kind of dig into that, it's really neat because He knows what resources you have, and so He starts giving you things that you can find. And then what you can't find in the dream books, as they analyze and give some common sort of threads of what symbols mean, then you just pray, and He gives you His own specialized interpretation for what you're getting from Him, because He wants you to understand what He's telling you. He's the expert, really, and so what we have to do is just rely on Him. And I really don't claim any expertise. It's just something I love to learn about, and He's been so good to help me understand what's going on with myself and with a few of my close friends.
Well, and I want to encourage people to call in with their dreams. We've got several to comment on, and they'll probably take up half the program, but we really want to hear from you. You know what the call-in number is, don't you? It's 917-388-4683. That's 917-388-4683. 4683. You can use that number to listen if you'd rather do that on the phone than on your computer, or if you push that little one, then you can share. You know, Teresa, we've actually got a couple people saying they, or one saying that they might want to share. Let me see if they really do. This is, let's see, this is area code 740. Did you have something to share?
Oh, sure. I would love to share a dream I had that I know was definitely a godly vision. I don't have them very often, but I have had. And it was, do you want me to share the dream, or do you just want to discuss
Well,
dreams
if you'd like
general?
To share it, we have a lot of dreams to discuss tonight, but we want to hear yours.
Okay, well, I'll try to make it brief. It's just the difference, knowing what is a regular dream and a God dream or message has been something that maybe in the show I will be able to hear more insight on that. But more or less, it was the most vivid dream I've ever dreamt before in my life, and I don't know exactly what it meant, but it was, everything was golden, just glowed of a everything was so crisp and pristine, and it was by the ocean, and everything was heightened in color. It was beautiful. And but at the very end of the dream, it was filling my eyes full of just wonderful, beautiful things. And at the very end, I met some people in this dream, two ladies actually, that you could tell were quite close and kind, and were asking me where I was from. And I told them, and they looked at each other and they thought, "Well, that's so strange." And I knew I was by the ocean. I don't live by an ocean, so I was traveling. And so, anyway, they looked at each other, and one said where she was from, which she said MacArthur. Another lady said Jackson, which is where I'm from. And really, the whole dream was about these final words about it being a small world. And from that dream, from that day, or that next day, several weeks after, I received that message time and time again through customers at my store, and everybody was using "It's a Small World," just in connections, people making connections. And I just thought it was an awesome, awesome thing. So I wish I had more dreams like that, actually.
Were there other details that you felt not to mention, or you can if you...
Along the whole journey of the dream, because it was so vivid, I felt beautiful. I mean, just absolutely beautiful, and inside and out. And it was all... The feeling of the sand was like talcum powder. I mean, it was so... so soft and so amazing. The white caps on the ocean was just beautiful. And I approached this huge building of marble and the stairs. And I mean, I've never seen this building before, and it was just huge. And so, and actually my fella, he was in it too. Never seen him dressed up. He's more of a rugged, hands-on mechanic kind of guy on big equipment. So I don't see him dressed up very often, and he looked phenomenal. He just looked awesome. And so we walked up into this beautiful marble pillared steep stair building, and it was beautiful inside, and there was this beautiful staircase, and we went up, and it was like, I guess it was kind of like a restaurant or something with glass. The whole front of the building was glass, and you could see out to the water. Never been to any place like this. I mean, I've lived in Hawaii, and I've seen beautiful things, but nothing like this. And So anyway, we were they were getting ready to seat us, and there was like a knee wall that you couldn't see through. So when you would sit down, you wouldn't be able to see the beautiful view. So I asked to be put in this little room that I could see that it had open spindles. It was just a little tiny room, and there was all kinds of things in there. And they said they would move something so we could put a table, but of course, dreams are kind of bizarre. And the next thing I know, when I turn around, the room was cleared out, and there were three tables, and there was people at one table, then there was a table available for us, and these two ladies. And I think, so basically that was the basis of the story. One lady, though, was a very, very, very heavy lady that even looked like she had a problem with, like, very enlarged limbs, arms and things. And this other little lady, just a very, very, they were older, real small lady, and they were, I don't know why this was, but she was holding this lady's hands up across the table, just like in helping her for whatever her problem was. And so, of course, we noticed them. And so anyway, they made contact, or they made conversation, and that's how I knew we were from the same town and everything, and the whole It's a Small World came to be. And like I said, at work, I own a small tea room, and there's lots of people, and I'm always feeling like I'm connecting people. And so those were really the details of it. And
wow.
And then the weeks, you know, after. So I have friends that have a lot of dreams and different things that come to be. And well, another little detail, though, that was kind of interesting was a lady that comes into my store was selling some of her products, and she came to check in on it. And she said something about being a small world, and I said, oh, you're not going to believe the dream. It was so real. It was so, so vivid, so godlike, you know. And so, you know, of course, that always opens the doors to talk to people about the Lord. But I said something about how beautiful I felt, and I was gold. I was just like shimmering gold, just, you know. And I said, I just felt so beautiful. And she says, well, I sell Mary Kay, and I have a product that makes you gold, like makes your skin really shimmery. I said, well, I'll have to check that out. So then maybe I can feel that way, you know. And she brought me some, and it was so much fun. But anyway, there's one other little thing, though, I would like to. I just had a recent dream. Like I said, this doesn't happen very often, so these are the two things that are most vivid to me. This is a different dream, and it just happened just a few nights ago. And I was very concerned because I do pray for discernment. I pray for the Holy Spirit. I'm a Methodist. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit and all of that as much as some other denominations do, but I feel like I'm at a turning point in my life where it's not about stuff. I mean, I'm 44. I've had, I've not had. You know, that's not important. What's important is connecting with people, helping mm-hmm. them, embracing mm-hmm. them right where they are, and trying to interject God's love in some way, shape, or form.
Okay,
so that's my mission. That's my mission.
I think that's your name. Did you want to share it?
Lori. Yeah, Lori. My name is Lori.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear what Teresa's going to say about this dream.
Oh, well, then this next dream, though, it's short. I mean, really short.
Oh, okay.
It is about, it was just a familiar voice in the family. She's a smoker, and she just has a very distinctive voice. And I was at a hospital, and I was helping friends with going through job interviews. I don't know what that was all about, but I was helping them. And whenever they would come out, I would give them encouraging words. And then it was just one friend after another trying to get these jobs. And so all of a sudden, somebody that knew me said that the phone was for me at the hospital. Again, some of my dreams, some of the parts don't make sense. But the voice, when I heard Lori, all she said was, Lori, Ernie has been life-flighted to Ashland. Write these numbers down. Now, I cannot for the life of me remember the numbers, but I had her repeat them. And they were phone numbers, and it was a sequence of numbers. And she was a little shook, and I just said, it'll be okay. What were those numbers again? And how to repeat them to me, and that is it. So I was kind of coming out of my sleep, and my Charlie was awake, and he has the TV on all the time. So I said to him, I just had a weird dream. And you know me, I don't remember dreams at all. I mean, just bits and pieces and things that are really corny and makes no sense, and then I forget them later. So I wanted to tell him. I said, you know what, I think, and I told him what I just told you, and I said, I think you just ought to call him and just see how he's doing and just, you know, catch up with him. And so anyway, he's okay at this point. I mean, we know his, I know his health is failing. We all do, but it's not, you know, in a condition where he's not able to go and do what he's normally doing. But anyway, so that was kind of a concern, but I thought, okay, well, Lord, why would you share that with me? And I mean, while Charlie got up and I stayed in bed, and I thought, silly, it's not about you. It's about praying. You have got to pray for them. Pray for his salvation. Pray for him if something does happen in the near future. Pray for peace. Pray for strength for the family, okay, for the kids, all that stuff. And that's what I did for a good half an hour. I just felt, and I felt so good. I felt so like, oh, you know, it just was like a, I, you know, when you pray and it's like, okay, you prayed for people and you knew you wanted to do that. But this was different.
It was let's let Teresa respond to this, okay?
Okay, sorry. I can talk. I'm sorry. Boy, can I talk. All right.
I want to hear what she's got to say because that was certainly an awesome dream. I'm so glad you shared it.
Oh, and thank you.
What would you say, Teresa? We want to get the gist of it anyway.
Well, the last one, I sort of had a big impression when you were talking about the gold, Lori, that that was the Lord's manifest presence on you. I could just sense that.
Sure.
And that he's very pleased with you and that he does consider you beautiful both inside and out. So that was really, you were sensing, and I do believe, feeling God's, just God's way he looks at you, and it's obvious that you are tuning into him the best that you can and are available to pray for people. Normally a telephone will indicate prayer and communication, so I believe that you got the right idea when you felt like that the last dream was more about prayer, especially when it was about your friend that needed to be life-flighted. Hospitals generally will be people in ministry. Sometimes they can be churches, but they're usually people that are very well trained in taking care of the sick, and he must need some specialized attention to be life-flighted. It's something that needs to happen in a hurry.
Sure.
And I would encourage you to put by your bed, since he's given you such vivid dreams, I would encourage you to put a notepad of some sort next to your bed, because those numbers were repeated to you twice and you still didn't get them. It's not for condemnation, but they were obviously important.
And I believe you can ask God that if you need the numbers this time, that you can ask him to reveal them again somehow. You know, it's not like he's going to say, too bad, you lost it, you know.
Right, he's not
hurt.
Like that. Mm-hmm.
But you will know in the future that God is apparently giving you really specific information, and he knew that,
that
you would forget them. Yeah, he knew that, so you're just getting prepared and trained for the next time. And oh, I just can't wait. Say more, Teresa.
Well, Lori, do you have any kind of reference as far as dream books or anything?
No, I don't.
I would encourage you to get both of the dream books by Ira Milligan. The first one is called Understanding the Dreams You Dream, and it gives it's real easy to read, and the symbols are explained really well. It's simple. He gives a really nice introduction and explains how God came about revealing the dream interpretation symbols. And then his second volume is really awesome. It goes into a deeper understanding of the dreams and a lot more on numbers. Numbers are very important, so that's why I said that this time I'm not trying to put any condemnation on you at all, but it's obvious because you asked them to repeat it that was something odd. Important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, and then on the first one, my sense that you were sort of like caught up into a heavenly realm situation, and that you were, and like you were on the boundary between heaven and earth. The sea is spirit, and water always symbolizes spirit of some sort. But because of the glory around you, you, I believe, were visiting heaven and experience in one of the heavenly realms.
It's like it's maybe applied two ways at once, I wonder too, Teresa, because since she has a tea room herself, God might be giving her a picture of how that tea room is helping people. You know, the little lady and the big lady might symbolize many things, but he might be showing you just a taste of what you're going to realize when we're with him, even at the bridal supper of the Lamb, you know, that you're going to be able to see how people were helped, and even people in the tea room were helping other people. Aww. Of course, they might all be parts of you, but I've had a dream recently about picking out my wedding dress to be at the bridal supper, the Bride of Christ, and I got all excited when I heard your dream, because I thought this can be, you know, more information about what God's doing within the ministry that you have now at your tea room, but it can also be representative of, you know, being there with him in person.
Right.
I love
that. A lot of times if I have dreams in a situation where people are being served and there are tables, it indicates the church body, because we're in covenant with each other. So a lot of times it will indicate that there are people in a congregation or just the church as a whole, so that when you're gathered together, and you had three tables, right, in one part of it?
Yes, three tables.
Three is the symbol of conformity, and it would be appropriate if it is a congregation or a body of believers, because we would want to be in covenant with the Lord. We are in covenant with the Lord, and we are in covenant with each other, but as we walk through this life, we are in the process of being transformed and conformed to the image of the Lord.
Amen.
So I think that that's probably a real good first step for you to look at. And the two ladies, one was holding the hands of the others up. It reminded me so much of in the Bible how that there was a battle, and I think it may have been, was it Moses?
Right.
That his arms just got so tired that they were winning, that the children of Israel were winning as long as his arms were up, but when his arms got tired, it sort of went the other way, and so he had helpers come and hold his hands up. So sometimes we need other people to come along and hold our hands up.
Teamwork.
How beautiful.
And God has
that?
God brought those people into the tea room, and it might be representative of there's other people that are networking with you, even if you don't know it, in prayer and in ministry.
And another thing that really struck me is it is a small world. And sometimes we think that we're the only ones that are experiencing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But as you come and share more about what God is doing, you become so convinced that there's not so much uniqueness, that God has done the same thing with a lot of people, and that we're not so crazy or weird.
Mm-hmm. That is what I'm wanting people to do, is share more about what God is doing and how he's working in our lives, and how, and I say that recently, I've been saying it a lot, about we're so much alike. You know, we as people, we are so, we're more alike than different.
Mm-hmm. Certainly we are.
In many ways. Mm-hmm.
And people need encouragement. I always say that everyone is more fragile than they look. But on the small world thing, God just showed me something that just absolutely amazed me. Apparently someone has made our made connections with someone in China who has also made sudden connections with lots and lots of people, even though their internet access is being policed and shut down now. And suddenly we have more Chinese listeners than we do American. And we're talking thousands. And people say, well, they have lots of people over there. Yeah, but not that many of them have computers. You know, it's not as high a ratio as it is here. And I think God was just giving me a peek, like he's giving you in this dream, just a peek at things that are going on, and people are being healed and ministering to other people which you don't even know about. I just want to thank you so much for calling in with that.
Thank you.
I think people need vivid pictures of how they are the bride of Christ, and what they're contributing and what they're letting Christ do through them is very important to God.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I thank you so much. Yes, you have a great evening, and thanks again.
You
thanks, Lori, so much.
Thank you.
Well, that was a great one to start off with. Hallelujah. I'm going to encourage my husband to call in tonight, too. He had an open vision, if he'll share it, before we ever married, that I felt like was very unique. I've never heard another one just like it, so I'm hoping he'll call in. And anything else on that, Teresa?
Well, it sort of reminded me of a dream that I've had before that was getting me sort of used to the idea of ministry, and that there's a big, big audience out there. As Lori was talking about, she really wanted a view, so she really is looking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that there were some things that were cluttering for a while, but eventually those were removed. So I believe that that is just removing things that are keeping her from seeing. And so, Lord, we just thank you for doing that for her. Thank you for doing that for her. And all
and the
others.
Go ahead.
And all the others that want to see and want to hear from you, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you're clearing the clutter. We thank you for doing that.
And the fact that she saw it somehow as a turning point, I believe, is very significant, because almost every dream we're going to talk about tonight has something to do with a turning point.
Mm,
it's just amazing
how
God coordinates things.
Mm, he's so much filled with creativity. It's just incredible sometimes.
I love his sense of humor. I love how he uses puns and symbols, and there's just nothing boring about him. He is the creator. And for those of you that haven't met Teresa before or haven't heard the other things that she has said, introducing dreams, please refer to a few weeks ago we did another interview with Teresa about spiritual roots, discovering spiritual roots in dreams. And that was kind of looking back, how God can help you discern what's needing prayer still from the past. But tonight we're talking about dreams that tell us more about God's direction for now or in the nearby future. Well, did you have anything you wanted to share before I jump into my dreams?
No, go right ahead. That's fine.
Well, if any of you heard the previous program, I'll just give me a minute to recap, because we did share a couple of these, and it started out with me asking God where to go next. And how did that relate to, you know, the previous covering or church that I had been at, the ministry that I had been under, and had invested quite a bit of time in them and them in me. And so God gave me a dream showing me that I was in the foyer and then inside the church, and just having some childlike fun with the leadership, really, and how accepted I was. And I came out of that dream feeling so joyful. And even though I hadn't seen them in like 5 years, feeling so loved and accepted. So I asked God, is there a significance to this? And he gave me number two, because I was asking, well, does that mean I should still have any kind of strong, active connection with them? Because I'm sure everyone listening has had interesting, you know, and very meaningful input from mentors in the past. But then he showed me myself going to a nearby building, and it was larger, and it had wings, and it had decking in between the back wings of the building. I knew it would be ours, and it was nearby. And when I tried to go back home, that's when we saw the spider webs over the door, and we couldn't go back. And we felt like, in short, that God was saying, no, you can't go back. You know, be glad that you're loved and accepted, but you can't go back. We're going forward. And so suddenly, like overnight, I felt like I was given this information that we would be having another building, which I've expected over time, but this was quick. You know, we went right in and couldn't even go back home. So what did that mean, you know? And I don't remember. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about those two, Teresa?
Well, the spider web over the door was really indicated some problems there that the Lord didn't want you to go back into.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want you to get tangled up in anything that was relating to some past problems. And he was giving you a warning. And he made it clear, I believe, that you just can't go back through the same door.
Right, and just because things were good before, that doesn't mean it's the answer for today.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that, you know, just what has worked before in ministry either will work today. I was sorry that there was no mention in the dream of whether it was a purchase or a gift, if somebody just provided that building or what. But to my amazement, shortly after that, I went and looked at a building, and it had that same decking, huge decking, that went between the wings on the back side of the building. And I went, whoa. We've bought a number of properties. Usually we have had a ministry office in our own home, different things like that. But never had God given me the exact dream of something before like that. Or it didn't happen right away, like this dream seemed to indicate it would happen right away. So we're very optimistic right now. But little did I know that there would be about 10 to 12 more dreams to follow. So that's why I wanted to share these with you, because I believe you can ask God for dreams. And it's not to guarantee that every last thing you dream is a God dream. But what do you think, Teresa? I think you can ask God for direction in dreams.
Well, definitely. He knows if you've got that pad and pencil by your mm-hmm. bedside, that's for sure. He knows what he knows how to communicate with us. And he doesn't give us something that we know all the answers to. I believe it's always a real key thing to recognize and acknowledge that even though we have some resources that are very godly, that each dream, the Lord wants us to seek Him because He's the one that gave it to us. So we can't just automatically assume anything. It's good if we, you know, can feel like we've got the interpretation, but there's a lot of dreams, especially some of mine, that I just have to mull over for a long time. And I find that sometimes those kinds of dreams are prophetic because it doesn't seem to make any sense in any context. And so you just kind of put them on the back burner, and then won't be long until you can see that, well, that's what it is. It's a prophetic dream about something that's coming up.
And sometimes directions mean something, like the street that this building is on and that we're on both run northeast. East standing for, what would that be, birthing or?
East is usually the beginning.
The beginning, and north mm-hmm. for spiritual?
North is spiritual. Sometimes it can be used in a negative way, but you just have to look at that and see, you know, what context it's in, the direction of the north and the south. God usually has a big part in anything coming out of the north.
Interesting.
The well, north is, okay, this is what it says in one of the dream books, heaven or heavenly and spiritual warfare, as in taking your inheritance.
Very interesting. Well, I felt like since we didn't even have enough time to go back to our old house, that could be referring to dream number one, or possibly the time factor that this or using or moving into this building would happen quicker than we think.
Well, I'm not certain about that, but the fact is that God gave you a dream of a building that's very similar to one that you have seen, and, you know, it just is, the similarities are very striking. So I think that whenever he does something like that, he wants us to make sure that we understand that we get what he's saying. So that gives you faith, it builds you faith up in that area to say, oh, okay, that I can see that almost, you know, I can really see that.
Well, I felt like the first dream was establishing how important the ongoing relationships are. You know, for those that are listening, it's important not to just burn your bridges, exit out of relationships in an improper way, and keep relationships going as well as you can on your side. And then the next dream is talking about God has chosen a place for ministry, or God will establish us. And there wasn't any mention of us purchasing it, which doesn't mean we won't, but it wasn't like, take this into your own hands and do this. He was just pointing to something that he has already chosen for us.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Well, and then we were, in the next dream, we were freed from the past and foolish choices is kind of how I saw it. Just a minute, I turned the page too soon. We had talked about before how when I was in a truck I was sitting backwards and the truck was going backwards, that somehow God protected me and I got onto the street and down the street and through the intersection and up a hill and came to a stop. And some of you have already heard that story. And then I went on shopping as if nothing had happened and I hadn't been in someone else's truck. And to me, that related to God's direction too, that I think sometimes people are afraid to go forward because in their past they were going backwards or out of control or doing things that might be considered felonies or might have hurt people like I might have when I was in this truck going out of control. But God made a way for me to go up that hill, come to a stop, and then I was free to just go on with life. You know, it was amazing how there was no sense in this dream that I should let those mistakes hold me back.
Right. If I remember correctly, you were sitting backwards in the truck so that
right.
There wasn't really any way for you to control it. It was very obvious that the Lord was talking about the past and the fact that it was going downhill. It just is like those were some troublous times, so that whenever you came to an intersection, which is usually a decision, that you went on through the intersection without being hurt, without another car hitting that truck, and you actually rolled up into a pleasant place, a little hilly spot that was green and grassy, and so that it made it easy for you to even, it came to a stop, so you were even able to get out of the truck, so that you were able to get out of that situation without being hurt, even though you had seemingly no control over where it was going. The Lord guided it to a stop. And then when you got out of the truck, there were opportunities for you to go shopping. And then what I brought out, I think, is, and I wanted to mention again, is that you were shopping, and usually in my dreams, and I think that some of the listeners might get a clue here from this, is that this is what you're buying. So in God's economy, if you're going shopping, you're using faith. So there's faith in the positive and there's faith in the negative. And God, of course, wants us to believe him and what he
Amen.
Says for us
mm-hmm.
so that we don't buy in or buy the devil's lies.
There you go.
And so I think that you have, with your walk in your life, have proved that you were buying into God's economy and you were buying his truth and not the lies of the enemy.
Well, and people that have as flowery a past as I have and have been as forgiven as, I can't even say it, as much as I have to believe the gospel. We have to believe that the blood hasn't lost its power, that the cross is adequate, and that you can take even your fleshly structures to the cross. And so whether I was going backwards, going downhill, almost killing people, or I'm not aware that I did kill anyone, but, you know, going through intersections out of control, God has to roll me up a hill to save my life. All that is just part of redemption, and that God did all that. I was completely unable to stop anything or to take control, but he just set me free, and with no apparent consequence, he took the shame and the guilt upon himself. And now we're just free to go on and declare his wondrous praises and just the mercy and the grace, the unlimited love of God.
It's so amazing what he does, isn't it? It just really is so amazing. He does really wipe all of our debts away.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing. And then the next dream, in contrast to that one, was very, very short. It's like a five-second dream where I saw, up on a limb, I saw that blackbird with the gold splotches on him, kind of like a painted pony, has areas that are black and some are white or brown. And he had gold in some places, but I knew that he was really a big blackbird. And we talked about if that could represent a curse or curses that people would... Well, I just think it's part of the course, really. If you're going to be active on the front line in ministry, people are going to try to curse you.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, is birds in symbolism are usually indicators of spirits, and black is not a good symbol, mm-hmm. usually. I mean, it can symbolize beauty, but in this context, I think it was pretty plain that blackbirds usually are demonic spirits or spirits of some sort that, well, we just put them, I just lump them all into that demonic realm. And a lot of times, gold will symbolize wisdom, glory, but you know, this was a blackbird, first of all, and he just had spots mm-hmm. of gold. So that just meant to me that, or means to me, that the enemy wants to steal God's glory, and he wants to be glorified just like Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But there's no way that he's ever going to be. He's always been a usurper, and he wants to be glorified, but he's just not going to be. He just is kind of one of those creatures that's always out there sort of watching. But you know what? He has no power against the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Tell it, girl. Tell it. And one thing that you mentioned about symbols and how they relate to our own lives, because sometimes we automatically picture something, because a symbol is something that God knows that is a personal symbol to us, is that when I was a mental health nurse, there was a guy that was an artist, and this is many years ago. Y'all don't be trying to figure out who it is or anything. Another state, but he had drawn this charcoal drawing of two vultures sitting on a limb above his bed, like he couldn't wait to get out of there. He felt like he was going to die. They were just waiting for him to die there or something, because I don't remember that he was in physical danger of dying or anything. Maybe it represented some depression, but for me, that's the picture that came to my mind when I saw this big black bird on a limb above me, you know, a curse of premature death or something bad. And we've had a confirmation at least once since then that we need to take more precautions to, in the name of Jesus, to cancel every hex spell or curse, every assignment against us, but just, you know, to take those precautions more than we usually do.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're birthing something new, the enemy's definitely going to try to just nip it in the bud.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to try, but you know what? He's defeated already, and he's under our feet.
Yeah, BB gun could take this bird out. So. Then the next dream was like, in contrast to looking at the negative, we didn't stay there but 5 seconds, and these were every couple nights I'd have a new one. It was pretty quick succession. That's why I'm looking at them together. We, of all things, were in Obama's kitchen. And this was not at the White House or any palatial home. It was just a normal home, like with sheetrock walls, you know. But he was cooking up something, and he was at a stove in an island in his kitchen. It was a very large kitchen, but he had glass around it. And because of that glass around the stove island, all the heat was on him, and he wasn't just perspiring. He had huge, you know, like BB-sized drops of sweat on him, And then I looked around, and it, to me it was very very noticeable that none of us were talking to each other in this dream. I was just almost like unimpressed that I was in the president's home. There wasn't a positive or negative reaction or anything. I just saw him cooking, kind of like a kid would watch their mother cooking. You know, it's no big deal. Then I looked at these three pictures on the wall, and they were crooked. But not only were they crooked, they were overlapping, and the corners of them were nailed in place so that I or no one else could straighten it out, what was positioned in a crooked way. And so there he was in the hot kitchen, and I was thinking, why'd you put that glass there? Because it's keeping all the heat on you. And then I went outside, and only about 90 feet from the house was a river. And my former pastor, Jane Hammond, who is now Apostle Jane Hammond, was standing between the house and the river. And to me, she was, I used to call her the discerner of the universe. She's very discerning, very powerful in the spirit and in prayer. And the only other thing about the dream was that Obama's children were drinking milk. But I felt like that river certainly represented something powerful that the Holy Spirit wanted to do. So in contrast to the fact that Obama had him in a, himself in a hot place, as he was cooking up something, that there was this powerful intercessor, apostolic woman, and the river flowing right near his house.
Yeah, so he's not so far from the truth after all.
Another pun. That God has it under control, and he's got a river flowing right near him.
Yeah. Well, I think that the cooking of steaks is really important. So the steaks, cattle and particularly bulls, usually are symbols of economy or increase. And wouldn't it be so obvious that he's been the one messing or cooking up something with our economy? The glass around that whole island, you said, was just really keeping the heat on him. And so really he was the focal point of that whole dream. You were watching what he was doing, and you could see how hot it was becoming for him. In fact, that the sweat droplets were becoming the size of BBs. So it was just really just almost an intolerable situation. The glass, a lot of times I like to look at glass, and when in my dreams, glass usually is a revelation sort of thing, like a window. You have like a window into that scene there. And even though he was cooking it for you and your husband, it was also, like you said, there was no communication. So I think more than anything, it's a revelation. The three pictures being nailed in place on the wall in crooked, overlapping display there really indicates a lot of the crookedness. It's obvious that is the frames had even been nailed to the wall so that they're not going to come loose and they're not going to be moved. It's already been nailed down. It's already been decided, and they're overlapping. So it really does point to conformity, so that there's a lot of conformity to the image of something. And I wouldn't necessarily say that it was a holy something if it's crooked. So the good redeeming part of that sequence to me was the fact that his children were drinking milk, and milk symbolizes the pure beginnings of the Word of God. So we do have that hope that his children are really being fed the pure milk of the Word of God.
And the glass, he might have even intended, I don't know, for his own safety. But like you say, there's not the communication. But I wondered if the fact that there wasn't communication might mean something. It seemed like we were literally there. But because we were in his personal home, I wondered if that was significant too, that it wasn't so much about government and the White House as the heat is on him personally. And I might just let you all know, because somebody might be wondering, I dreamed this before the recent events with the seat being filled by a Republican and all, and so now I imagine the heat is just as strong or stronger. But I see this river coming, a river representing the Holy Spirit and this great intercessor, discerner standing out there. And I think it's an exhortation for all of us to pray for a huge encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So he's not so far from the truth, and especially with his children. So we are commanded in the Lord's, in the Gospels, to pray for those in authority over us, and
right.
We as the body of Christ really do need to take that seriously, even if
mm-hmm.
we don't maybe agree with everything that's going on. The world is changed through the power of prayer. The prayer of a
Amen.
Righteous man avails much. So all of you prayer warriors out there, please be encouraged that we don't have to give up and we don't have to give in, and we can see that God works through prayer for this man and for his family. Even though it seems like what he's gotten into has been nailed down and it doesn't
mm-hmm.
seem like anything can change.
Well, and if the river of God wouldn't be right there and the intercessor, prophetess, discerner standing right there, to me, if it weren't a direction for all of us to rise up and use the spiritual power and authority that we have in Jesus Christ, if you have Jesus Christ inside you, then you have the ability to hear from him and hear what to declare and decree and believe, not your personal agenda for politics, but to believe the kingdom of heaven will be established on earth.
That's right.
You know, it'll be established
right.
as it is in heaven, and God
mm-hmm.
is king, and that he will, the Bible says that he can turn the hearts of kings as easily as he turns rivers of water, hence the river.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. He put a river right by his personal life.
That's right. So, like he said, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, and he turns it just like a river.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, we just ask for this man right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you just turn him around, Lord, and introduce him to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, regardless of what other influences he may have had in his life.
Let me share one more, and then we'll take a caller. I want to encourage you all to call in, and some of you are listening, but others can also call in at 917-388-4683. That's 917-388-4683. And you can participate, share dreams, ask questions, because this is a very interesting subject. I know we had a lot of activity last time. In this, what was it, about the seventh dream, we were in a sailing boat about 43 feet long, and I've always loved sailing, and so has Lou. But we were already coming in. It wasn't about so much going somewhere as we were arriving, pulling right into our slip there at the dock. And it seemed like this dream was already, you know, we've already gotten somewhere. It's not wait, like so many things from God. But we were aligned perfectly with three other slips where there were three large boats that weren't any longer, but much, much stronger. Of course, a sailboat in this case is powered by the wind. But these had very strong motors on them, like tugboats would have or something, that are able to move ships into place much stronger than themselves
mm-hmm.
or much larger than themselves. And they had motors for power. And so there was this feeling of having arrived somewhere and being aligned with the other boats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The ships, I believe, I'm not certain exactly what these three individual ships mean, but I do believe that it is an indicator of the church body and the powerful ministries. It could be different ministries that you have known, different ministries that you've come through and been trained by, very powerful ministries, and they're already at the dock, they're already resting, they're already there, and they're all identical. So there's three again where you're conformed to the image. And so this is the church body that's being conformed to the image, And you're actually the fourth ship that comes into the dock
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And four is the kingdom reign symbol that it is, it's obviously God's kingdom. And the sailboat indicates that your ministry is powered by the Holy Spirit, by the wind, by the Spirit of God. And he's the one that brings you on into dock. He brings you on into that slip. And just like we said, that pun situation as your ship is coming in, I think
right.
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And that even has redemption in it for me, because once I made a very, very huge mistake in my life, and thank God it's, you know, a bit over about 10 years ago, and I'm healed, and God's been so wonderful to heal me from that. But I made a big mistake choosing something because in pride, I thought my ship had come in, and God has a way of reframing things and giving lots of second chances and redeeming everything in our lives. And I had the big sense that this ship was coming in. It was a good thing, that
mm-hmm.
God, the Holy Spirit, is the wind that's directing this ship.
Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that the when the ship comes in, it's no longer on the journey. It's already arrived, and it's in a resting position, so that as the church lines up to be conformed to the image of Christ, that we learn how to rest more and more in him and not be trying to do things on our own, just to allow the Holy Spirit to be the one to guide us. And that when he gets us still, that's the time for us to be still. And that's the time for us to just let him do his work through us and stop our own striving. That talks to me a lot. Because
it does.
I've been so guilty of trying to do the works my own self and trying to perform. And there's just so much more freedom whenever we would just relax and let him do the work.
Amen. There's something about entering into that rest that each person has to find, whether you're one that performs for acceptance or approval, or whether you just are busy, busy, busy because you think if it's going to get done, it's got to be you, or you think you have to help God or serve God, or God's done so much for you, got to do so much for him. But none of those are it. It's entering into the rest where you realize that only Jesus can live the Christian life, and he said he wants to abide in us, and us to believe that he will live his own life through us in all kinds of power
mm-hmm.
and love, and it's just awesome. I wanted to say one more thing about that the at first, see, my impression in the dream was that I was aligned with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it's so important to be in agreement with what God wants. You know, he's got all the power in the universe, and somebody in the chat room has written, well, how does one who believes live a better life and get blessings when the world is coming down upon us? And I would say, first of all, it's because our focus on God and his love and power and plan for our lives is way bigger than anything the government or the economy or even other armies of other nations. God's bigger than all that. And I believe that when Christians face adversity, then they should just kind of, like an MC would introduce a program, just say, God, friends and neighbors, let's see what God's going to do. Because he shines forth with this miraculous provision. And that's the only reason we're saving food and water in the basement, is because we believe that when we, out of love, his love, when we share it with other people, when there's food and water shortages, that it will actually multiply in their hands. And so God's going to use these economic problems and adversities and all these things, if we'll introduce him and say, I believe God's going to do a miracle, that he will, and he'll show them his love.
Mm-hmm. I believe you're right.
Woohoo!
I haven't seen the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes yet, but I believe that we're in the day when we will see that, and I've heard many testimonies of
mm-hmm.
people that have had multiplication of food in their refrigerators, or they've had multiplication of gasoline in their tanks, and
mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to me that, you know, sometimes we relegate those kinds of multiplication miracles into the Old Testament realm, and he still wants to do that today if we'll just have the faith for it.
Some people might wish it wouldn't happen, but I believe God's doing that with my clothes. You wouldn't be you would just absolutely be amazed if you knew some of the things that I wear all the time. I mean, even undergarments and all that are so old, and they just don't wear out. They're still doing fine. And so some of them may be out of date, but God, you know, didn't let the Israelite sandals wear out.
That's what I was thinking of when you said that.
I claimed that verse a long time ago because if it's not broken, we don't replace it. But I know our budget doesn't work on paper. I know that for a fact. I mean, I see that every month, every year. But somehow God makes it work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just love the teaching on tithing. You know, that the Lord, He does more with our 90% after we give our tithe than we could with our 100%, because God's blessing is on the 90%. And, of course, that's not all that we as believers do is the tithe. We also give gifts and offerings. But the Lord multiplies all that. And isn't it great to have the blessing on the 90% instead of us trying to just scrimp and save on not giving God anything?
Well, I believe that we can't outgive Him, and that's just not a trite phrase for me. Little by little, we have increased what we're giving, and it's working. You know, the more we give, the more He sends in, and I think it was the last program that we were talking about how we're believing for restoration of everything that we've laid down for the kingdom's sake. And in Mark, what is it, 10:29-30, that Jesus promises them that everything they laid down will be restored 100-fold in this life. And 100-fold is not 100 times. It's way, 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 way more than that. Far more than you could even imagine what the number is. It's like one with 30 zeros after it, and it's even actually a little bit bigger than that. But the point is that God is out to bless us. And in the first dream, He was showing me, you know, how I'm still loved and accepted. In the next one, He's already got a wonderful new building picked out for us. And in the next one, even though in spite of all the bad choices that I made, He brought me to a safe place and set me free to buy into the truth. Wow. And then He will take care of the curses as we declare and decree that they're broken in His name. Even the president and the concerns that many people are wringing their hands over the government and choices that other governments are making as well, you know, that He has a river of God right next to them. He's got that all taken care of. And as we line ourselves up with Him and other ministries and the power of agreement and fellowship and in union, unity, that's in His name, in the Holy Spirit, that I believe we have an exponential power in prayer as we align in agreement with others and with God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first half. And to me, all of those things were about different aspects of people's lives that may be a big concern, whether it's past relationships, their own past choices, you know, adversity or curses coming against them, what the government's doing, and who they should align with these days. They're all very important choices.
Mm-hmm. It is. He's giving you specific direction.
Then I had a dream that I couldn't really remember, unfortunately, because this is one of those mornings where I had left the dream journal downstairs. And it wasn't there, and who would think that I'd forget it by the time I got going downstairs? But I did. But I do remember the gist of it, that I was laying hands on people and praying for them, and the personal ministry was going very well. It was just going very well. And I know in that dream I woke up so excited. That's why it never occurred to me I'd forget it. So excited that I had no idea that God would do as much as He did through praying for people. It was just amazing, the results. And He's been encouraging me, just do it more and do it more, because I'm in it. It's my idea. You're not twisting my arm. You know, I want to heal people. I want to speak into their lives, prophesy to them. You know, it's me. It's me.
Mm-hmm. That hands-on ministry is something that's going to be new for you as a rule, doing more scheduled meetings. So I don't know if you wanted to talk to the folks about that or not.
Well, it'll be going back to it, actually, because since I moved north, I've had a whole lot of appointments with people over the telephone and over Skype and things like that, because I had gotten the faith about 5 years ago to believe that God could do anything over the phone he can do in person, and so we really became more international. And as a result of that, our listeners and all have really grown. But then God took me back into it as I came north. I had to start over again with new local friends, and so we've had a lot of phone appointments, but now we're getting a group that's being taught and trained to minister hands-on, and I'll be with them in person more, whereas usually before I was more only with people at seminars. Mm-hmm. And so now that we spent more time at home this year, I've actually taken 6 months here where I haven't done an out-of-town seminar at all. That's different. But now we're going to be opening up to the public to come and not just have the people that we're training, but we're going to be really ministering to the public at large and believing that everyone that comes can receive healing prayer or a prophetic word. And this is what I used to do. This is what we did all the time, was minister to people in prophecy and healing and prayer in person. And then it went to the phone ministry as we were moving from place to place, and now we're going to be doing both.
Well, I just think it's interesting how he's laid the foundation with a lot of things in your life, kind of taking you on a little bit of a sidetrack, not really a sidetrack, but getting you exposure over the internet and different media and showing you that there's a huge mission field out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he brings you back, and now you're going to be back doing the things that you were trained at first to do. And in the meantime, everything that you've learned, he's taught you over the course of the time, you bring fresh and new into the situation, because I know that he has just expanded everything that you've learned, and you have experienced so much that you just have so much more confidence in so many different areas than what you did if you had never gone through all of the teaching and training over the internet. And seeing God move in power over the telephone, because as these people come, I do believe that as these people come, there will be new ministries and new ministers that are raised up, and that they will see that media is a great avenue and a great outreach for many people that can't come in person. And so not only are you're doing the same thing, you're multiplying again what you've been doing, you're getting people back hands-on, but I believe some of those people will go on to internet ministry also.
Well, and that's why they called me at school. They called me a reproducer of reproducers, or God did, because I wouldn't have reproduced in all these areas. I probably would have gotten stuck with two or three and been happy and delighted to be there. But because of different circumstances changing and moving to new places, people like you, Teresa, have been able to teach me more about outreach through media. I'd get something started, but I wouldn't understand all the ways that it could reach out, and I'm so grateful for some of the things that you've taught me. And as a result, just to cut to the chase real quick, because I'd rather you talk more about that, is last year we had 2.5 million hits, and I believe that I never would have even known what media can do to fulfill the Great Commission if I hadn't been home more and I'm always looking for ways to get the gospel out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way that I could do it while I was at home.
Well, I just have seen how God has worked, and there are a lot of people that are in the same situation that I am. I work full-time, and just because of my responsibilities and the days I have off, I don't have the freedom to go to weekend retreats and take a time off, like a week for a conference here and there. Mm-hmm. I just don't have that. But God knew where I was, and he hooked me up with you, knowing that I have a specific set of things that needed attention, and you were specifically trained, and God had given you experience in some of the problems I had. And those kinds of things are not people that I even knew in this area, nor do I feel very comfortable with anybody in this area in the same kind of ways as I do with you, because over a period of time, I've gotten to know, first of all, your teaching through your internet web pages. All the people can go to the www.cwlinc.com and get a lot of free articles and listen to free broadcasts of radio programs and hear testimonies of what people have come to you for and how God has worked in their lives. So I listened to a lot of that for a long time before you introduced the NowFaith.tv ministry. And that was just a real deal. I thought only $10 a month and you get unlimited access to all your resources, your teaching, and you could listen to the teachings or you could watch video. I remember at one point you started with the videos and then you said, well, I don't know whether everybody really wants the videos. Would you rather just have MP3s? And then you started doing the MP3s. So those are really good ways that people can download and listen. What I did was I listened on the way into work and on the way back. I have a long drive into work every day. And God was just teaching me, plus too, my prayer partner, who has been an invaluable asset. Yeah. And I encourage other people to find someone that they trust that will pray with them whenever you realize that there's some kind of problem or in a dream that you can't figure out. Well, what is God trying to show me and tell me? And your prayer partner who can really hear from God, you know, that's just an invaluable part of how God wants us to be with each other, because we're not meant to be an island, even if we are busy and working a lot.
And that ministry training school, again, was born out of a period of time when I'd had a car accident or something, and I was at home more. And I just got together with my volunteers, because we don't have any paid staff, neither Lou or I have ever taken a dime of salary. I do take almost enough clergy housing allowance to pay our mortgage. But it was born out of a time when I had to change courses, you know, and God used that time to birth the ministry training school, because one of the biggest influences in my life was going to ministry training school that wasn't all academic like Bible courses. It was only half academic and it was half hands-on ministry. So we said, well, we'll just do seminars right here and we'll put them online. We'll put them online so you can watch whole seminars and demonstrations of ministry and interviews. And we've got some pretty hot interviews on there. But those were the kind of things that got me going and taught me how to do this hands-on ministry that I saw in the dream that was going so well. Mm-hmm. Is I just owe so many people big thanks, and I know they're going to get great reward in heaven for just pouring their lives into other people. And that's what I want to do. I just want to pour my life into other people and get them on with what they're called to do. But there's another aspect that God's been really impressing upon me for a long time, and I've been slow to believe that this is really what he wants, because there are so many things that we can do and so many ways that we can love people. But in this next dream, the background or the canvas, so to speak, of the dream was almost totally blank. It was just dark. And there were four little wooden clothespins, and that was it. They had faces on them like they were little people, kind of mm-hmm. like you might make in kindergarten. And I knew somehow in the dream that these represented four choices that I had. Mm. And the last one is the one that I chose, was more time in his presence. And when I chose that, the entire sky or background of the dream lit up with lights of all different sizes, and there were so, so many of them. Mm. And they weren't exactly stars. They weren't exactly spotlights. But it was like his light or light through me or something. Anyway, there were lights everywhere mm. as a result of just spending time in his presence. Mm. You know, well, if I had designed the dream, it probably would have been choose between being, you know, a marketplace minister or a doctor or a missionary or, you know, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was the one of being in his presence that lit the sky up with lights everywhere.
Now, what do you think about the fact that they were clothespins? Clothespins are actually formed. Their function is to hold up clean laundry. What do you think about that?
I don't know. What is that?
Well, the clean laundry, it reminds me of how the Lord washes us clean.
Mm.
And he puts clean clothes on us. You know, as we walk through the world, we get real dirty. But his clothes are always clean that he gives us, and clothespins are just holding that up. I don't know exactly if I've got everything on that. It just really seems to be a lot to that. It almost is like fresh linen, clean linen, fresh and clean. And that's the righteousness of the saints, I do believe, that God is talking about. Four is a symbol of kingdom and kingdom reign, so that it's another symbol of his kingdom. And the fact that you knew that the one that you chose was the one that was spending time with him, I think that's interesting. How did you know that that was what that one symbolized?
Well, God makes it real simple for me. Unlike the awesome dream that that Lori called in with earlier, it's just real simple. I don't know if it's from abiding in his presence already or whatever, but somehow I chose the right one. And I didn't even know what the other three were. I just knew that that's the one I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe it just doesn't even matter what the other choices in life are. I know that being in his presence, I'm learning that. He's just not letting me forget that being in his presence is the main thing, and it's the most productive thing, because I'm almost like a man. I want to be productive all the time. And it's really the best way to reproduce, too, is what he was trying to show me. There was more reproduction of Christ in lives around the world through that than no matter what the other three choices were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome. I love that one. I can just almost see those little clothespin man.
Yeah,
he
kind of made it a message that I couldn't miss. And what's funny is I had kept asking him, I said, do you really want me to spend this much time alone with you? Now, because I'm a prophet, I'm always interacting with God. I just talk his ear off. I'm always listening. And I feel like he's just leading, guarding, directing me as I used to pray in my early denominational days. I really feel like he's really doing it all day and apparently in the night too. But he just makes it a choice that I can't miss. And that is what I love about him, because for many years I falsely accused him of not even meeting me halfway, and I'd blame him when I made bad mistakes. But the truth is I was in compromise already, and that's why I wasn't seeing the direction clearly.
Mm.
So now that I'm, you know, I can't say that I do it every single day, but on a lot of days I'm spending more time just in his presence. there might be some worship. I might read something. I might just be listening. I listen a lot, unlike my previous life, earlier life. But he's showing me it's more productive that way.
I love that one.
And to make sure I got the point, the next dream was very short also. I was just looking at my fingernails, and I've been blessed with good fingernails, especially if I'm not taking any Naprosyn or anything, which tears up fingernails bad. But I was looking at my fingernails, and they were all split, which isn't like mine. And they were just peeling and split and almost worn to the bone.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that was really the whole dream, and I think he was just in contrast to the other dreams, saying, you know, don't become a workaholic. The Bible says you're foolish, you know, if you stay up working all the time. I forget how the verse goes, but I remember that. It's foolish. You don't have to do that. He wants relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, in dream symbolism, hands are works, deeds, good or evil, labor, service. And one thing that I don't know whether this is part of this or not, but fingers are symbols of feelings. So that sometimes maybe your feelings were just getting worn because of all the work. And like you said, almost just working to the bone. Gosh, that's very serious that he's really trying to get you to slow down, isn't he?
You think?
Oh man, that's almost like my dream that I had about the monkey. Oh my goodness, that addiction thing. I mean, that's a warning dream, you know.
You can share that.
Oh gosh, this one was interesting. This happened to me a couple of years ago. I had minor surgery on my shoulder, and it wasn't anything large, like a rotator cuff, but there was some irritation in there that they needed to go in and clean out. And so I was off from work for probably about a week, and they get you going on the PT, the physical therapy, pretty quickly. And of course, my doctor, he prescribed quite a few medications there to keep the pain down. Specifically, right after surgery, there were quite a few. And so a lot of my friends at work, when I came back to work, said, oh, it's just really important for you to take your pain medication so that you can heal up quick. So I kind of took that advice to heart, and I thought, well, I've got to take my pain medication every day, whether I need it or not. I just think that's so silly. But I've heard a lot of people say that you heal up faster if you're not in pain. So I kind of did that. I didn't overdo it. I didn't do it to the point where I couldn't drive, but I was taking some sort of pain medication every day. And I had a dream one night. Oh gosh, I'd probably been back to work about at least a month, and in the dream I saw, looked like a cover girl, just the cover of a magazine. But the magazine didn't have any name that I could recall. It just had a person's face on it. And instead of a beautiful lady on the front, it had this lady that had her hair was all falling out. She just had little blonde sprigs here and there. And I looked, and her nose was just totally eaten off. And I in my dream, I said, well, Lord, what is this? And I heard him plain as day say, this is a monkey. So that was all it was. It was just really short. And so the next morning I was studying on that and just really seeking him on that. And monkey is a symbol of addiction. So what the Lord was doing was showing me that if I didn't quit with those pain medications, that I was going to get addicted. So I flushed those down the toilet that day.
Mm-mm-mm. There are so many Christians that needed to hear that, who are addicted to prescription medications just because they kept taking them after the pain subsided. And they just kept taking them years mm-hmm. later, mm-hmm. and they are addicted. But mm-hmm. I believe God is ready to do miracles of deliverance, setting people free if they're willing to be free. And I like what Heidi Baker says, that God is ready to do miracles for his radical lovers. Redemption's his idea.
It is his idea, isn't it? Sometimes we forget that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a death on the cross ought to be enough to make the statement that it was his idea. He wants us to be free more than we want to be free a lot of times.
And he wants personal, intimate relationship. He really does. That's his idea, too. He doesn't want to be God just worshipped far away. He wants it close and up front and personal, doesn't he?
He really does. And sometimes, you know, it seemed like to me over the years that God was like holding me back, and I would think that I was waiting on him. And then he would make it more clear to me, no, I've been waiting on you to put your trust in me, or to hear the last thing I told you, or, you know, that he was really had my best interest at heart, was preparing me, tutoring me, and that he was waiting for me to respond. And so this next dream kind of reminds me of that, because there were many times when I was like a racehorse, and as soon as I would get a prophetic word or a vision from God, I'd want to do it that month. You know, I would want to believe that I was ready right then, and, you know, just ready to take on the title, the business card, the outfit, whatever, just take off with it. But this next dream reflects, I think, the preparation that God was doing in some of these other dreams, that they were all an important part to get ready to move forward. And so I dreamed that I had gotten into a car, but for some reason I wouldn't get in the driver's seat. I don't know if it's false humility, intimidation, or what, but I was in a car in the passenger seat and I wasn't even really dressed to do anything. I was in my house shoes. And the car took off. Mm-hmm. And it was not only going, it was going fast. It was speeding. So here I am struggling to get from the passenger seat to the driver's seat, because I'm in a car that's speeding away with no driver. And as I try to move over, my house shoes are getting stuck on the carpet, and the car is speeding, and then a policeman sees me. So he's signaling for me to pull over, and I am in the driver's seat by the time I get pulled over without hurting anybody. And there was a truck that was coming in behind me, so I even had to move another foot forward or something. But he was right there to talk to me about speeding. And there's this strong impression in the dream that God had really meant for me to be in the driver's seat, and I was the one holding back.
Mm. Mm. It was already going. It was already going fast. But there wasn't any way for you to control it if you weren't in the driver's seat.
Well, as soon as I got in, it started going. And it kind of speaks of, as soon as you get into something, you may not expect for it to take off right then. Mm-hmm. But again, this dream seemed to have the impression that, you know, go ahead because the ship is already in, the ministry is already going well, you're making the right choice of being in his presence. You don't have to work your fingers to the bone, but you do need to be in the driver's seat if that's what I've called you to do. That, you know, I was the president and founder of this ministry, and God's okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see that. Who do you think the policeman is?
Well, I didn't actually get a ticket, but is it God? I don't know.
He's an authority that enforces the law. I kind of look at it that way. You know, if you think of a policeman, they're only there to enforce the law. So he was stopping you for your own good, correct?
Well, I was going too fast. And, you know, I don't remember if I knew if he saw that I wasn't even in the driver's seat, but I'm sure he could tell that for one reason or another, there need to be some correction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. This is Stephen. Talk again about spending time with the Lord and getting to that place to rest, doesn't it?
Well, but to me it spoke of don't be afraid to be in the driver's seat. And that doesn't mean instead of God, because I believe Christ is in me doing it. But I think what it speaks to me of is that lots and lots and lots of people, and maybe women especially, are afraid to be in the driver's seat because of some teaching that they've had. But if God says obedience to him and your calling is to be in the driver's seat, there's nothing that says that women can't be leaders. I mean, for goodness sakes, Deborah was the judge, and the king wouldn't go to war without her right at his side. She couldn't stay home in the prayer closet. That wasn't good enough. And there have been women prophets, and Paul had women on his ministry teams. Jesus did too. And it's time for women to quit restricting themselves and being in a passenger seat when God is ready to take off.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. And just look at Joan of Arc. I'm telling you, have had many people then in history that God has worked through many women. So I was focusing in more on the policeman than I was on that aspect of it. But that's the truth.
Yeah, I wasn't experiencing the normal fear and trepidation that you might feel when you're not in the right place and a policeman's going to correct you for it. What I was feeling was a conviction that how foolish it was for me not to take the place that God wanted me in to drive the car.
Mm-hmm.
There was a false humility to be in the passenger seat and not even dressed and ready.
I think that's
so he was ready to take off, and I was holding back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there are a whole lot of women out there that are called to be fivefold ministers. They're called to be evangelists, and they might say, oh, no, women can't do that. But the first evangelist was who? The woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. She wasn't of the chosen people, so to speak. She had been living with a guy the day before, and God made her the first evangelist.
Isn't that interesting?
I think so. Mm-hmm. And women are called to teach. The Bible doesn't say women can't teach. It just says don't usurp authority. And I don't think men should usurp authority either. We're supposed to respect other people. And, you know, women are called to do a lot of things, but some relegate themselves only to the nursery and the cooking the Wednesday night supper or something and aren't taking their place where God has placed them, establishing them, and or they're not being good stewards of their gifts because it's some kind of false humility.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank God you did get in the driver's seat, didn't you?
Well, I think the next time I had a chance, I was still standing out on the pavement with him when the dream ended. But I wasn't afraid. I just knew that I was in that predicament because I had not taken the position that God wanted me in. And so what I think he was saying, and what I had gone to sleep thinking about that after that day's discussion with some other people, we're talking about when we start this new effort of inviting the whole public in Western Pennsylvania and all to come to meetings for personal ministry, I was thinking about, okay, will I have a guest speaker in every time, or will I do a lot of it? And I believe through this dream, God was saying, you don't have to take a minor role.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Get out there.
Yeah. Listen to him, but, you know, we only do what the Father says do, but we don't have to assume that we have to take a minor role either.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, then this next one. I dreamed that we were in a house, and in this house, I had an awareness. I was an observer. I had an awareness that the grandma had passed away. And the grandpa was just walking around lost without her. But suddenly the house was filling with new people. New people were just coming in, and I didn't know who they were or anything. It was just the idea that they were new people. And there was even a very young baby, not born that minute, but very young, just perfect and beautiful. But in the right lower corner of the dream, I saw a hand with a syringe in it coming toward the baby to kill it.
No, you say we are in the house. We who?
Well, I'm just observing. I don't know if I'm actually there or not. It's like God allowed me to see this, that the old was passing away.
Mm-hmm.
The new was coming in.
You said grandmother?
Yeah, the old grandmother had passed away.
Grandmother had passed away. Grandmother is usually spiritual inheritance. And then the grandfather, what about the grandfather? He was looking for her?
No, he knew she was passed away, but he was just lost. You know how some men are just lost when their wife dies?
Mm.
He was just walking around, just lost. Mm. He didn't know what to do without her. And it's like, you know, what is there to do? But all these new people were coming in.
Hmm. Lots of new people?
Yeah, for the size of the home, yeah.
For the size of the home, okay.
More than you expect.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So there's, I think it is looking at the church, sort of the house can be sometimes a church. And both the grandmother and the grandfather are symbols of spiritual inheritance.
And to me, it's a picture of the previous move of God. All the moves of God are important. It's not that we just forget about some, but to me, it's a picture of the previous move of God. It's losing steam. Many have died off, actually. We've had a lot of deaths of famous leaders of previous moves of God. But some people are just kind of lost without them, and some people just don't know what to do next, kind of. Or maybe they are older, literally. But then these new people are coming in. To me, that represented the current move of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be aware. Sometimes we just want to stay what has worked for the last decade. But with the current move of God, I mean, God is using the most unlikely people, of which I was one, so I was kind of liking it. But He's using some of the most likely people and lots of young people. See, these were lots of young people coming in
mm-hmm.
who may not have had the seminary and the training that we used to think was necessary, but they know how to talk to people and love people, and they're mm-hmm. not afraid, and they have passion. And so mm-hmm. all these new people were coming in, even right down to a baby
mm-hmm.
was being birthed.
Mm. The baby had already been born, so the baby
right.
was there. And in the natural, let's see, in the lower right of your eyesight, right?
Mm-hmm.
The direction. Did you see anything that reminded you of what right might be?
No, I didn't think to look that up.
And usually I think of right being as in the natural. And it also can be a position of strength. Here we go.
But this was bad strength because they wanted to murder the baby.
Mm-hmm. In the natural, okay, right is natural authority, power, the strength of man, and it can be the power of God revealed through flesh. It can also be accepted. So you see a hand coming so that there's a work coming, and the work has something to do with medication of some sort, a syringe, and you feel that the syringe is filled with something that will kill the baby.
Right, it's a poison, I see it as,
it's
that would come against, it would come against what we're about to birth, or we're,
mm-hmm.
we've started to birth, and the enemy will always have a plan to
mm-hmm.
kill whatever God, whatever new thing God is establishing. The enemy's going to try to counter it with some kind of poison and kill it.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting that you would have seen a syringe. So that would be something that you would inject into the body,
mm-hmm.
right? You would inject mm-hmm. it into the bloodstream?
Mm-hmm. Or
okay.
just somewhere on a baby. We always put it in their thigh as nurses, but I mean, that's the biggest part on them when they're real little is their thigh.
Right, a little muscle there so that
right.
they can, medicine can seep out. Okay, so the Lord has given you a picture that there's going to be a work of some sort come to try to kill the baby and poison the baby somehow. And I just was like thinking that it was trying to poison the blood. So I would say that seems like what the enemy is up to is trying to poison the blood of the Lord, so to make people believe less of the blood and the power of the blood and our new inheritance
mm-hmm.
in his bloodline, because we are born into his bloodline and we're adopted into his family as sons and daughters, and we're grafted into the olive tree as a wild olive, so we become part of his family and we're his bloodline. So what it seems like the Lord is showing you there is there's going to be some lie and work of the enemy that's going to try to dilute the power of the blood and to try to poison the power of the blood.
Actually, the people we call my advisory council said that they already knew what a couple of the things were and that they were taking care of it. They'd have it taken care of within a couple of days, and if they had any problem with it, they'd let me know. Otherwise, they weren't going to bother me with it.
Oh, okay.
So if I've got enough sense to just let them handle it, then maybe that'll be okay. I'm not used to that happening. But it sure does feel good to know that you have intercessors and people lined up with you that are going to take up for you, you know, and say, oh, you're totally misunderstanding, because the little bit that they did tell me, I said, well, that's just totally the opposite. And they said, we know. We're going to straighten it out. We're not even going to bother you with it.
Oh,
it's
wow.
amazing how the devil will accuse you sometimes of the few things you never did wrong. I said, just tell them that most anything people might falsely accuse of me, in the truth, in the past, I probably did something worse, but Jesus forgave me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He forgave me anyway. And so I just tell people, oh, whatever you might accuse me of, I'm probably guilty of worse, but the blood is more powerful than that.
That's right. That's right. Where would we be otherwise? I mean, really, I mean, we're all in the same boat. There's not a single one of us that's righteous on our own. We all need Jesus.
Well, most of us haven't learned that we can't throw stones at the other. Jesus is going to come along and say, okay, which one of you is really innocent enough to throw a stone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we know the answer to that question. He's the only one that can throw a stone, and he's not going to.
And if we're willing to believe it, he's already promised us that blessed are the persecuted. So I get an extra blessing for that.
Mm. There you go. There you go.
Well, there's a way to stay cheerful and have joy in the Lord if we're willing to do it.
Yeah. Well, there's that one reason that he wants you to draw close to him is that you're just going to have and be filled with so much more confidence of everything that he's doing and just, you know, not sweating it. Just let him do it.
Let's don't make the mistake of focusing on the hand with the syringe, though. Let's focus on the fact that this dream says that God is birthing something.
That's right.
He's bringing new people.
Mm-hmm. He is. Well, there are a lot of new believers out there, and sometimes the numbers are not published, and so that the church really doesn't know what's going on. But there is a huge revival going on in the United States of America. There's a huge revival going on in every country of this world. And the kingdom of our Jesus is ever increasing. It is ever increasing.
Well, and the numbers are astounding. I think, if I've got this right, you told me that your media church 1 month last year had baptized over 800 people in 1 month?
That was one month. That was one time. And it's just, if I could give you the numbers, it would just be astounding what God is doing. It's just the multiplication. He is just taking the technology, and his people are just being multiplied. There are new babies being born in the Spirit every day, every second.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
Lord is just, he is just really on the rise, and there are those that would say that the church is dead, and that is not true. That's a lie.
It's just amazing. I mean, I never thought that I would even affect. My numbers say that we have about 8,000 unique people on our Now Faith TV ministry training school site. Now, they're not all paying $10 a month because only a few people help support it. But we're by no means rich, that's for sure. Not even well-to-do or anything. But you know, I never thought that I would have a congregation of that many from one site, one website.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing about 800 new believers in 1 month through the expansion of a ministry through media screens and other places and things, that is just something to really praise God for. And that
brings me
to the last two dreams. Well, I do want to say what you were teaching me, too, that people that are hearing this program on Blog Talk Radio have so many ways that they can multiply a teaching through the, you know, being friends, through sharing it on social networks and sending it by email and all, that you can sow and fulfill the Great Commission yourself by forwarding things.
Mm-hmm. And multiplication.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like ripples in a pond, if you think about it, and all the intersecting ripples, because the ripples, sometimes you don't know how far out those ripples will go because you just think it's one little plunk, you know? One little plunk creates all these ripples, and the ripples keep going on and on and on and on and on.
Well, I never did figure out the multiplication we've had in China. All I'm conscious of is I have a couple of new Oriental friends on Facebook. That is the only thing that I am conscious of having done, which is, you know, no big thing to approve someone as a friend on Facebook. But when we suddenly, in 1 week, went from a smaller number to having more Chinese listeners, and we're talking about 2,000 or 3,000 more. No, going from about 2,000 or 3,000 to over 10,000, I think is what it was, all in 1 week. I knew that somebody was sharing.
That's
and that doesn't
awesome.
Mean that you have to be a preacher, you have to have a doctor and anything, you can forward messages to people who will forward messages. And that's 2 Timothy 2:2, we teach others who will teach others.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, and that brings us to a dream that I don't have an answer for. You haven't heard this one yet. Again, if anybody wants to call in, it's now or never, because we want to have time to listen to you. If you're going to call, it's 917-388-4683. And this last couple of dreams are different. At the risk of not knowing what you'll say, here goes, that I dreamed that there were four dogs running along having a good time, and two of them were mates to each other, and the other two were mates to each other. Now, in my understanding, dogs don't mate for life except for maybe wolves, but the emotional feeling was there that they were somewhat committed to each other. And then one mate ran off with another one, and it left two behind. This is confusing. I don't know how to tell it. Because A and B were running together, and C and D were running together like that. And then B and D ran off and left the other two feeling abandoned, that each of their mates had run off. And they just turned to each other and kind of in a pouty rebound kind of way said, well, we'll just be number one to each other. And that was the dream. My marriage is not in trouble, for all of you that are wondering. It's in no trouble whatsoever. I always tell people if Lou was gone for 24 hours, I still wouldn't think that he was with another woman. I just think he was in the hospital or something. We're doing fine. But what about this concern about being number one to somebody?
Well, first of all, what do you think dogs represent in this dream?
Fleshly stuff.
Well, dogs, let's see. What does the dream book say? A dog is a symbol of strife, contention, offense, unclean spirit. Now, unless it's a personal pet is something precious or a friend. It
yes.
can be the same thing as if it's a personal pet, it can be the same as man's best friend. So that's a good take on a dog. The dogs were running. Were they in a race or just running together?
They're just running, all four of them together, but then suddenly...
Mm-hmm. Two in front and two behind, or all four on the same level, or what?
Pretty much on the same level, just running and having a good time. But if they were going to split up, instead of the two pairs, you know, staying intact
mm-hmm.
and splitting off, instead, each one's mate ran off with the other dog, and then these two felt abandoned or rejected, which I've had severe rejection problems in the past, that I had made bad beds and got rejected. But then they just, with a kind of a little pouty rebound, you know, kind of way, they would say, well, we'll just go together and we'll be number one to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and what do you think four symbolizes in this? Four is usually
What? Mm-hmm. What does it?
Four in this is usually a kingdom. It's a picture of a kingdom. So a kingdom. And you didn't feel like you knew any of these dogs, did you? Or did you?
No, I didn't have the slightest idea what the dream was about.
You didn't know who they were. Okay.
Until it got to the pouty ending.
Mm-hmm. Well, four is a symbol of kingdom or reign. So what we're talking about are... if we look at it, we can look at it in the positive or the negative, but if we're looking at it in the negative, we can say that this is a kingdom full of strife, because the dogs are creatures of strife, unless you know that they're a personal pet and you didn't recognize any of them. So I'd say that we'd be fairly safe in saying that these are it's either contention or offense or some kind of unclean spirit. So God's just kind of giving you a picture of a kingdom, and
for their separation.
And their separation. So we've got two males and two females, and you're really sensing that there's, you know, two pair here instead of just four. So two
I would say is really all about discernment or judgment. Two is the number of discernment or judgment usually. And so what happened is that one from one couple left and went with one of the other couples. So there was a split definitely. And then you've got two left. And so there's still something about discerning there and judging, and that has to do with that comment probably more than anything, is we'll just be number one to each other. Is that right?
Well, I could tell it had something to do with being that number one. You know, it could represent a lot of different things. But in light of birthing something, starting a new work, new people coming in, all these other issues that God's been addressing, I thought whatever fleshly concern that I might be tempted to have as a leader or being number one, I just want to be discerning of it, discern myself rightly, others rightly. And because I know, like, that's what the devil was trying to get James and John with. They wanted to be number one. They wanted to be on the right and the left. And the Bible's so clear that, you know, if you want to be a leader, you have to be a servant.
Mm-hmm. Well, this could also show you a picture of this is how the fleshly kingdom operates, because there is strife and there is contentiousness. And then the ones that are left are all still looking to be number one.
Well, and sometimes when congregations all get separating and dividing, then they split and they kind of turn into goats instead of sheep. They're like, all they're judging their former leadership, and they go into the new congregation with all these judgments and issues with authority, and they think they're going to get treated perfectly there, but they've not confessed those judgments of authority, and so their next situation may not be any better. Or to take it down to a relationship level, like these two dogs were in relationship with each other, and when they split up and then they just grabbed somebody else that was just as wounded as themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how much number one they're going to get, because they're both coming out of wounding rather than getting healed first. Right. Of course, we don't really expect dogs to do all that, but people do that. They get separated and divorced, and they fight and they feud, and then they jump right into something else. Because this is immediate, you know. They just jumped mm-hmm. right into something else, looking to get their needs met, but never really turning to God.
Mm-hmm. Well, strife and contentiousness can really wreak havoc in relationships. And like you said, if people are not willing to look inside themselves and let God heal what's going on, instead of pointing the finger at someone else and saying, look, you know, look at them and look at that and look how imperfect they are, and not are willing to look inside themselves, then there's not going to be any kind of resolution, and you keep going around the same old mountain until you finally do allow God to work in your heart and life and free mm-hmm. you from those things.
Mm-hmm. I know I had gone from boyfriend to boyfriend thinking the next one would be better, but all I was doing was compounding my judgments and my unconfessed sins and my wounding, and it was getting worse every time until I really turned my life over. Because it's one thing to say Jesus is the Lord, is your Lord. It's another thing to really do it.
Yeah. And if listeners don't know, they can go to your website and get that teaching on overcoming your own personal strongholds, and start learning about the crosswalk prayer. Because like I've testified before, I didn't really know how much sin I had buried in my heart that I didn't remember and had sort of like glossed over, because after a while it becomes a stronghold and they don't want to be discovered. So
no.
That there is a little bit of work to it if you're having repeating patterns in your life, and if you keep pointing the finger at other folks and are not willing to look at your own life, you're not ever going to let God do anything if you don't take your own responsibility and confess your own sin.
Well, that's what motivated me to receive restoration ministry a couple of times, prayer ministry a couple of times myself, and then get trained to do it, was because I was just abandoned by one dog, so to speak. would just run right into a relationship with a second one, and I didn't think I was moving too fast, but I was, because I was not lined up with God yet. You know, I was not a whole person myself. I was out of wounding. But then that brings us to the dramatic happy ending of the last two dreams, at least last until I fall asleep again. I want to remind our listeners, I have never had all these dreams that I remember before, and I think it's very significant that I'm having one every day or two now. They're God dreams. This isn't normal for me. I am allowing myself to get some normal amounts of sleep. I think that helps. When you always wake up to an alarm clock after a short amount of sleep, you're not going to dream as much. But I dreamed twice now that I was getting married and either getting a ring or a dress. And the first one I was marrying a Latin lover, which on one hand could be a distressing dream to me because I have no intentions. If anything happens to Lou, I don't know what I'll do without him, but I have no intentions of replacing him either. I'm just single-minded for getting the gospel out, and I'm not out looking for any Latin lover. Wouldn't be if I was single even. That's it. I just have good memories of Lou. But I wonder who the man actually represents. And then in the last dream, I'm actually shopping for a wedding dress. The only ones I can see are summer dresses, you know, with shoulders exposed and everything. And I'm asking if they've got anything else in stock. And she shows me this one bright green wedding dress with like 3D flowers, not even just applique or embroidery. I mean, they're like 3D sticking out from the dress. I'm like, no, I don't think that's it. And so what about this? First, I just dreamed that I'm just falling head over heels for this gorgeous-looking Latin lover. And
well, I think that Latin lover is Jesus because he's really passionate. I think that shows how passionate he is for us. I really do.
And what he wants from me. He really wants me to fall head over heels. We've only got another minute, so let me just say in this last one where I'm shopping for a wedding dress, I think it just speaks of the anticipation we should have, not just of his coming, not just of a rapture, but of an intimate covenant relationship right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dress. Yeah, the dress, being dressed and ready.
And what would garments represent?
Righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the word says, that the bride has made herself ready. It doesn't say that all of a sudden she poofs and is ready.
Whoa.
She's got to make herself ready. There's some work we've got to do to make ourselves ready, and that, I believe that is just cooperating with him.
And for those of you that are picturing working your fingernails to the bone, remember we've already ruled that out. I believe what Jesus is saying at the end here tonight is the invitation is, you know, he's saying to the bride has come, and that he gives us the gift of righteousness, and he clothes us with righteousness. And what he wants from us is just to have a passion for an intimate relationship right now. How about that? So are you willing to put on the wedding dress? Might be a stretch for some of you men, but you get the symbolism. Are you willing to put on the wedding garment? Because it says in the end times, he will know who's got a wedding garment on and who doesn't. And we have to be willing to put it on, not just for salvation, but for an intimate covenant relationship with him that's, I believe, more about listening to the king than it is talking his ear off. But I want to thank you for being with us tonight, Teresa. You've been such a blessing.
Well, thank you, Carlotta. I just know that the Lord is working an awesome work right now through the media, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I want to encourage the listeners to visit your website and also to get their dream journals ready because the Lord is talking to us.
So I'd like to just pray for them right now and for everyone that will listen to this as they share it and as they download it and email it and everything else, that we will receive the unconditional love and acceptance that was represented in the first dream, that we'll know that we're being established by God in a new building or new ministry, and that great things are being restored and begun and birthed in 2010, and that we are freed from past choices, and that the curses that have even been spoken against us or that we have said over ourselves can all be broken as we declare it so and agree with Jesus and do that warfare, so that we can pray for our leaders first of all, that we can be driven or blown forth kind of by the wind of the Spirit instead of our own power, that we can know that we have a personal ministry that will go well as we allow Him to minister through us, and that as we choose His presence, it will be explosions of His power and love everywhere. And as we stop working our fingers to the bone in our own strength and trust in Him, that we can take our place in His army, however we fit, whether we're fivefold ministers just starting out, or, you know, the wise ones with all the wise or whatever. And we just thank You, Jesus, that You will guard us, that we will avoid anything that's all about us being number one, and that we will lift You up. You are our lover. You're our bridegroom, and we do receive the garment that You've given us. And thank You, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.